Welcome to the Fully Express Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna and Samantha.
This show is your permission slip to stop holding back. Here, we talk about what it really means to live unapologetically you in your relationships, your business, and your everyday life.
We believe the most magnetic version of you is rooted in self-expression, honesty, vulnerability, and showing up fully as you are. When you own that, you naturally attract the people, the opportunities, and the life that is meant for you.
Hey guys, in today's episode, we sit down with Livia Genvey. It was such an interesting conversation that we had with her. She's a transformational speaker, master certified life coach, and Reiki master teacher. She has over 20 years of experience in coaching, energy healing, and spiritual leadership. And she's the founder of a company called Oracle of OC, which created this method called the Oracle Method. And it's a powerful framework that helps high achievers break free from burnout and reconnect with their inner drive.
When we got a chance to meet Livia at one of our events, actually she's come to many of our events, we got to dive deeper into her story. And she has navigated so many different dark times and has healed so much to be the woman that she is today. And through her work, we dive so much into the energetics behind what's going on, past life healing that is going on, and it's just a beautiful conversation. So if you've been curious about more woo-woo context, this is definitely for you.
Yeah, she goes into it all. And honestly, this is one of the most interesting, fascinating, and different conversations that we've had on this podcast. And we really, really enjoyed her conversation, and her energy. So we really hope that you enjoy this episode as much as we did.
Have so much fun.
So welcome to the podcast, Livia. We're so excited to have you here and to really drop into, gosh, spirituality, narcissism, recognizing narcissism, your journey, and really just how to step into the highest version of yourself.
Thank you so much. I am so honored you both are having me today, and I'm excited to be here. You guys are amazing. So thank you so much.
It's been such a pleasure meeting you. I'm so glad our walks kind of brought us together in our life, because on that walk, just getting to know you, getting to feel your energy, and getting to just hear how you express yourself in your story was amazing. And that's why we both felt that we really wanted to have you here today.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So let's start with your story, because you have such a powerful story. And when you shared it with us, it really touched me, and just, I felt like it's a story that needs to be heard because it's relatable and just also speaks so much to like the beautiful human that you are. So yeah, will you share your story with us?
How far back do you want me to go? My story.
Wherever you feel called to start.
Yeah.
I can say that I started off this life in definitely a lot of trauma. I started to experience trauma probably from the age of 5. My family had a lot of challenges, and sort of trauma was the result of that. And so starting from the age of 5, like, I experienced a lot of physical, emotional, psychological trauma. I really utilized my spiritual intuitiveness to really protect me growing up. And it was there to help save me, because there was instances where, like, I was almost abducted in public, and there's like an intuitive nature where I was in a place where looking at something on a TV screen, and something intuitively was like, you need to go now. And I turned around, and there was a guy about to reach down and like grab me. And I was probably about the age of like 6. And so I learned at a young age that, like, to survive and what I was going through in life, I needed to utilize like my spiritual nature. And at the age of 16, I basically had a prayer and said, like, I'm done with the abuse. Like, God, can you like shift this for me completely? And God was like, all right, let's do this. And so I got introduced to meditation. So, and it came through me through a magazine, one of those Cosmo magazines. There was this thing about doing a candle meditation. And at 16, I was drawn to that. And so that's how my meditation practice started.
Is that the one where you stare at a candle that's being lit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You find your peace and your, okay,
yeah,
keep going.
You basically find a candle and you try to continue your gaze on that candle. It's really a focused meditation. Mm. And it really helps you like get the mind to calm down. It allows you to have like a focal point. And so that was what I needed at the time at 16. And it was a practice that I continued on doing, and it actually helped me, because after that, I went and became very destructive. I was around a lot of destructive people, people who were alcoholics, people who were heavy drug users. I knew people who had died, folks who were doing things really bad. I had a lot of abusive relationships, but that practice kind of helped me. I traveled a lot, but then I also was a very high achiever. I was taught to be the high achiever, go after, do things. I graduated with a bachelor's degree and immediately got into working in technology, and I was very driven. And then in my late 20s, I tried to end my life because at that point, I was doing everything everyone told me to do, and I was being that high achiever. Even though I had a meditation practice, even though at the time I was actually starting a yoga practice and I was going through my yoga teacher trainings, I'd reached a critical point in my life that I was like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And that was an interesting moment because it was a failed attempt that actually spirit actually stopped me. So I was working in San Francisco at the time. I was working in a consulting role for a company. I was at the train station. And I decided I was going to jump in front of the train. And so there I was on the track. There was no one around. And I was like, that's it. I'm doing it. And I literally was about to run in front of the train when the train was coming down. And I felt something held me down. Mm-hmm. And when the train went by, I immediately just like cried because I thought someone held me down. Someone saw me. And I looked around and there was no one there. I was completely, there was no one in that area. And that was another moment of like, spirit is there to protect you. You don't realize your guides are there to make sure you're not doing things you shouldn't be doing. And in that moment, that was when I decided I needed to shift everything and I moved into an urban ashram. And that, with my yoga teacher training, I was working with an ashram and I decided to move in there and basically become a monk. And I was like, that's it. I'm going to become a monk. I don't know else what to do with my life. I'm going to like devote myself to like the whole spiritual practice. And it was interesting to go through that world because I had this whole perception of like being in this, like this whole daily practice, being in that space, that it was very different than every day, but everyone still has their own stuff going on there. And it was great to be in that space because that was what I needed at the time to truly begin to heal myself. Because I had a great spiritual teacher who introduced me to finally go into therapy and see a therapist full time to really work on my mental health issues. I had some great spiritual teachers. I started to learn deeper about energy and became a Reiki teacher at the time to really understand that aspect of it. And then it really got me deeper into more personal development, understanding the mindset and everything. And that world, I then realized I'm not meant to actually be in that space. I'm meant to start to actually take that knowledge and start to bring it out into the world. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know how. And at the time, it was not, it was like, no one was talking about that stuff. It was very like, you don't go into that space. So I decided to move into more of like the health and wellness space. And I moved into becoming a fitness coach. And it was interesting because as I was coaching people on their physical body, I was also coaching them with their mind, their spirituality, like reconnecting them to themselves. I still had many other journeys I needed to hit, a lot of more burnouts and challenges, but that's where my journey made me realize a lot of what I learned along the way is that like when we are born, we actually are fully energized. We're fully lit. I call it like our inner gardens. And we are taught at a young age not to listen to that. And we don't realize that these are parts of us that if we allow the energy to continue on, it can actually reduce the burnout. It can actually help us have better lives. It could really transform us to be unstoppable. And it's actually the energy of those areas that actually build us up to do great things. Mm-hmm. And now, as I've gotten older, I realize like this is my time to really help those who are good-hearted leaders who are meant to do amazing things in the world, like help them understand, like, you can execute, but I want to help you figure out the energy so you can keep going because it's time for the world to change. And my mission in life is to help billions of people, like, really be their greatest selves because I see people as like little versions of kids that are like excited. Mm-hmm. And when you see people like spark in that energy, like, they're unstoppable. It's amazing. So that's where I'm at.
There's so much to unpack there. I mean, first, thank you so much for sharing so vulnerably and openly about your journey. And I think one thing that's so important for you to share, I feel like you've had your own evolution of healing. Like You had your 5-year-old self to your 16-year-old self to your 20-year-old self to like later in your 20s. And like there was these different versions of you. And then also like later in life, you had other trials. And I think that just talks to the healing journey is like, it's not like you were just saying on their podcast. It's like, it's not linear and you'll continue to learn lessons. And I think there's so much for a high achiever specifically, but one, as a high achiever, we're always kind of like focus on like, well, if I do this right, it's going to heal everything. It's going to fix it. The other question I wanted to like dive into with like energy management that you were talking about. So I'm so curious in your perspective as a high achiever, how do you know the difference between like, I'm checking off the boxes. It feels really good. It makes me feel worthy of myself. That energy feels good. It can look like it lights me up. It makes me feel good for a moment compared to the kind of energy that you're talking about that like really sustains you. What's the difference?
That energy is like an ego adrenaline energy. It feels really good. It's like a rush. It's like a sugar rush. It's like, yeah, I just ate some sugar. It feels really, really good. But then the immediate is a crash. That's the difference between that energy and like the sustainable energy. And that's interesting because I didn't realize after a while, because I was hooked. I was an adrenaline junkie on like, let's achieve, get that, let's achieve. And then the next day I'd crash.
And a lot of them do that. Through marathons, through taking on the next project. Everything's like a checklist. It's a win. It's how do I get to that next thing? And they're always chasing this high.
Yes. It's like a drug addict. You're chasing and chasing the high. But the interesting thing is that when you start to... It's interesting. We have like 8 core energy centers and those incorporate like your career, your health, your relationships, your friends and family, your recreation, your personal development, your spirituality, and your finances. So those are like key areas of actually who make up who you are. And as high achievers, we tend to focus on 2 or maybe 3 if it's a good day. We forget about all the other ones. And the other ones are like recreation, play, just a little small moment of play. You don't realize is like it gives you more sustainable energy. The friends and family, like you had a bad day, you go and connect with that friend of yours that you have like a good, and all of a sudden you're like shifted and changes. Like it allows you to go into a flow, and also too with the seasons that we go through. Mm-hmm. Because we don't realize as high achievers, we go through seasons of life. Mm-hmm. They could be like,
it's you want them to look all the same. What are you talking about? Yeah. Seasons. I want every day to be beautiful.
Yeah.
Everything. And successful.
Exactly. We want everything so to be like roses, but it's like, no, one season is like, it's your family season. You got to focus on that, but you need to make sure how you take care of yourself through that. Mm-hmm. One season is, it's the career season, or it's the like, you know, recreation travel season. It's like, we go through so many different seasons. And then also like your age as well. Like as women, we go through perimenopause starting at in 30 and we don't even know that. Right. And so there's things that start affecting us, our mind, our, you know, these are different seasons and yet we are still driven to go after certain things. We're not told that. And so that's what I'm really focused on now is helping the leaders like understand, like there's so much out there, but yet the truth of it is like, you actually know what you need inside. And we're often taught not to. We're often taught to like, go listen to this person, go listen to that person, this idea. But it's like, you actually already know, like, maybe you should do this, but you've been taught to not listen to that. And that's where I want to help you, because like that little, like that's actually the energy inside of you that's asking for you to be like, hey, just spend 5 minutes playing today. Spend 5 minutes drawing and doodling. That shifts everything for you.
I call those capacity givers.
Yes.
So for me, I use capacity instead of energy as my word, but they're capacity givers. And what we don't realize is like, in order to feel the kind of energy that we do want, we can't constantly be living in these like capacity takers or capacity red flags. Like, what are the givers to help you fuel the energy that you need? And so we need the play, we need the rest, we need the nourishment and connection and community, we need grounding, we need all these things that are going to help sustain what we're creating. And I think as high achievers or leaders, like, we're here to create, but what does it look like to sustain what you've created? And I think sometimes when you hit burnout, it's like, oh shit, this is my passion, this is my why. But now I'm thinking about running away from it because I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about like the capacity givers to like implement that in your life so that you can sustain what you're creating and continue to feel fulfilled in the way that you feel called instead of crashing and burning.
Yeah, because I've experienced so many times where like I was called earlier on to start my own journey as being a coach and healer, but I crashed. and I went to a totally opposite direction.
Same girlfriend.
Yeah. You know, like, and I see that more often that a lot of us do that. And my wholeheartedly believe is that like each and every single one of us is born on this planet here in human form to do something that's going to help benefit the world in a positive way. And we know that actually from a little kid, mm-hmm. we already know like this is kind of where we're driven. Or maybe as we get older, we've had an experience that kind of says like, you know, this is where I want to go. And us heart-centered individuals, we don't have a good example of how to lead from a heart-centered perspective. Those who have led before us, because of the world they were in, had to cut off their emotions, had to cut off their heart. And so that's why you've got the narcissists, the sociopaths, those are the folks who've been sort of on that leadership area, because they had to cut off that connection to the other people to keep going and driving, because that's mm-hmm. where it was. But we are in a new evolution now as humans, where it's the leaders who are connected to themselves, who are connected to the emotions. Those are the ones who actually are going to help support us evolve. And that's why so many people are awakening now and being called and just coming forward. And so for me, that's why I'm more driven right now to help them, because it's so heartbreaking to see someone who is so passionate to help other people. And they're just like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And I know when I look at them and see from them and talk to them, I'm like, this is what you're meant to do. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I want you to do that and know that you can be supported with that. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're given here in this earth. Like the universe is here to give you everything you need. And we're just taught not to listen to that.
If anything, like when I look at this from like the nervous system, like saying those words out loud of like, I don't want to do this anymore. Or like, I give up. That is a perfect opportunity for you to be like, oh, something's not right here. I need to pour into myself because I'm saying I'm done, not actually listening to the thing I'm done. It's kind of like a red flag that I use a lot. Mm-hmm. My language is like, mm-hmm. it's a red flag. Okay, great. Where within myself am I not listening? Am I not giving? Am I not expressing? And am I not all those things? One question I wanted to ask specifically was, what are some energy blocks that you see a lot of high achievers run into?
Ooh, there's so many. So interesting enough, our soul is, this is my theory. So I'm going to place that first. My theory is that like your soul still has inside of us the emotions that were very strong for it, that it's experienced in other lifetimes and this lifetime
Talk
as well.
Talk more about this.
So and so I meet so many people that I'd be like, you know, I get a sense you're an old soul. They're like, oh yeah, I'm an old soul. I'm like, okay. I meet people who are like, I've been around for a little while. I'm not that old of a soul. I'm like, okay,
really?
You already know. I've met those.
I meet a lot of old souls.
I've met those people before, yeah. I've met people actually that were like, yeah, I think I've been here a few times, but not. I have a lot more life to go, a lot more lifetimes to go.
People know, their souls know how long they've been around. And I've seen them from various different age groups. Like I've met little kids that are like, oh yeah, you've been around the block and you're only a little kid. Yeah. And I've met adults that were like, oh, you haven't been around enough.
Yeah. My aunt's one of those people. I'm like, you've been here. This is your first life. She would say it's her only life.
But yes.
I'm like, you'll be back.
You'll be back. There's where you want to experience.
Yeah.
But our souls have the emotion, like emotion is energy in motion. And that is, our souls is sort of an emotional, is an energetic being, basically. And so emotions that are very strong, either positive or negative, I believe still stays with our soul. And the ones that are the negative one, our soul is trying to figure out how to get rid of that out of it. The positive ones, we don't realize these, that the positive ones are like experience that you had, maybe like someone you fell in love with, that's kind of soul, you want to kind of have that again, or a physical experience, like you loved a certain clothing in one lifetime. And so you're all of a sudden super attracted to that style in this lifetime. Those are things like really positive your soul still has. But the negative things are, and unfortunately our human evolution has been a lot of trauma, a lot of death, a lot of abuse, a lot of stuff. And so our soul is really a creative child who wants to play. And I love how Mike Dooley describes it, is that like we are children who forgot that we're playing a game. And sometimes when we've been through those horrific experiences, our soul is actually trying to figure out how to play the game in a different way so it wins this next time around. And so as high achievers, we may not realize that sometimes things that we're going afterwards may actually be a soul wound that we may not realize we need to actually heal. Because I work with people who have talked about how, like, you know what, this lifetime, I didn't really have super traumatic experiences, but I don't know why, like, I'm crying all the time or like have this weird thing. And it's just because you had an experience in another lifetime that was very, very negative that actually your soul is still trying to figure out how to release and let go of.
I mean, astrology points to that with the North Node, the South Node, the Moon. I mean, you can find a lot of people's, like, I love to read people that don't know anything about astrology because I'll tell them their nodes. They're like, how do you know this? That lesson's shown up for me so many times. So it is, it resonates what you're saying because I feel it's like you're taking it a step further going into the actual details. Astrology doesn't necessarily point to exactly like who you were, but I think that's really cool. And something I love that you've shared with us, not yet, but I want you to share it here, is like how you can tap into the Akashic Record, which for anyone that's listening, like the Akashic Record is the history, like the, how would you describe it? Like the spiritual record.
It's your soul's history of past, present, and future.
Of everyone in the world, in this universe.
And we actually all, we are connected to our own records every single day. Mm. As kids, we actually are connected to them really very quickly. I don't know if you've ever experienced like some, I had this experience, I was met others who've had as well, whereas kids, all of a sudden, like you had this interesting dream where it just felt very real. That actually was you connecting to your record about an experience you actually had in the past. Mm-hmm. I've experienced them because I've had a lot of traumatic experiences in a lot of my past lives, partially because one of my earliest past lives, it was such a traumatic experience. It did a cascade where then I became someone who created bad experiences for others. And then it cascaded into me then having to heal that and shift and change. But I've had experiences where I've been in places where I've actually experienced me being there at the time, a long time ago. So one example was a couple of years ago, I was in Turkey. I went to one of those ancient sites there. And as I walked through the sites, all of a sudden the whole scene changed and it became real life where like a fountain was going. I saw the pillars turn into like everyday pillars. I saw people walking around and then all of a sudden it faded away.
That's epic.
Yeah. but each and every single one of us is connected to our records. We don't realize that. Unfortunately, I feel that when we get into like kindergarten, we become taught not to listen to our soul and not to listen to be connected to our records. Mm-hmm. And I've learned to be given guidance to be able to read records for others, but I teach people how to read their own records as well, because there's so much knowledge in your records, because certain things, there might be issues that you're trying to get past and you don't, and you've maybe worked with like every single healer you could or done enough therapy. It's actually something that's deep in your soul that your soul is actually wanting you to like address and undo. And it's a process too that you want to be very careful with, because mm-hmm. it's that the trauma, emotional trauma here in this lifetime to relive that is also relieving that into your soul. So you need to do it in a practice in a way that's really protective for you. And you can do that, but it's just a matter of you just learning the practice to do that.
So something that I struggle with, I think a lot of our audience will struggle with, is this desire to be seen. Mm-hmm. If I'm not seen, it feels like the deepest wound ever. I've worked on it my entire life. I've literally have moments where I'm like, oh, this doesn't bother me at all. And then the other day I was like having one of those moments. I'm really comfortable with like feeling the depths of what that means to me when it really gets like triggered or activated, or I allow myself to express the emotion. But I was telling Nick, I was like, I feel like at this point, this isn't mine. Like I've done this already. I'm like, am I carrying this from a past life? Where is this coming from? And I had that intuitive hit as like, I've worked on it in my present moment, but there is this like depth thing. And I'm like, I'm here to be with every time that this shit comes up, but it doesn't feel like it's mine, or it's something that's been integrated in me for lifetimes behind me. So I'd love to like know, like, how do you even start that? Like, I feel like I'm doing the thing by like being with it every single time it comes up. I'll share it with her. I'll share it with Nick. I'll go to the depths of crying about it. I will remind myself that I am seen, that I am loved, that I am, you know, in my own way, that I see me. But how, when you get stuck like that and you're like, I know this isn't mine anymore. Or is it someone else's that I'm carrying? Or is it from a past life that I'm carrying? How do you get to that?
It could be both. Yes. It could be both. But often when you, when it's something, what I've experienced with myself and clients I work with over the years mm-hmm. is that if it's something like that, you feel like you've had it even since you were a kid.
Oh yeah. Since I was a little kid, I came into this world born with it.
Then that's a past life.
Yeah.
That's definitely a past life. The interesting thing about, so I can share with you just sort of my yeah. story. So as a kid, I always had this thing of like, I'm being punished mm-hmm. for something. I don't know why I'm being punished for something. And then another thing, it was like, and I always felt my younger brother was like my child. Like I always felt that growing up. And so when I started diving deeper into my records, working with some amazing teachers to help me learn about it, it made me realize is that the reason why I had this whole like kind of underlying guilt all the time, like it was my fault, is because what had happened in my very first lifetime. Mm-hmm. So in my very first lifetime, I was a woman in a spiritual space who was not allowed to have a relationship with a man. And I did. And we actually had a kid together. And at that time in the human era, that was a no-no. So I actually watched him die brutally in front of me and my child die in front of brutally. And in that, I created a revenge where I became a very bloody person, killing a lot of people. And so it found out that that child was actually my younger brother, because we don't realize is that we create soul contracts with other people. Mm-hmm. And they can come to us in other lifetimes in different ways. Mm-hmm. You may have a sister who actually is your mother. You may have a son who's actually your father. Mm-hmm. You may have like someone who you had a very deep connected love relationship with that you just randomly meet one day and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, you're the one. I've also seen negative aspects of that. So I work with clients who, one client, she said to me, like, ever since she was a kid, she always felt she had men who was always wanting to possess her, always mm-hmm. wanting to chase her and possess her. And it was because at one lifetime, she had a man who did that to her, and he made a karmic vow, energetic vow contract with her. It was like, I'm never, ever letting you go. Mm-hmm. And so she was energetically connected to him, soul to soul, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. So we worked together to finally break that contract and create a new one. And it was interesting because then the guy literally went away without like any question. He never came back into our life again because those energetic ties that we have with each other. Because I don't think we realize we get very focused on the physical aspects of ourselves, but in reality, we truly are energetic, even from a molecular standpoint. So our words, our actions, and especially when something is a very much an emotionally triggered situation, could create an energetic connection between you and another or you in a situation that will stay in your soul. And it's doing the work to really release it in a safe, protective way that it will let it go and you won't ever have to feel that again. Because it could have been a lifetime where you were in a situation where you saw someone or some people who were going to be hurt and you were trying to verbally express that out to the world, but no one listened to you. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you and others had a horrific death. That will stick to your soul. Mm-hmm. And your soul will constantly want to figure out how to fix that so that mm-hmm. you can be heard, because you were trying to tell others that everyone was going to be hurt. Like something happened in Pompeii and you were just trying to be like, dude, it's going to happen. And you know, those are things that I think we don't realize. Some of the things that we're going through is still stuck to our soul. And I always say that if it was something you felt as a kid, it's because it was a past lifetime. And often sometimes it was a really early lifetime you had a negative experience in. So sometimes you have to kind of slowly unpack that mm-hmm. in a really safe way.
This is really cool because I think a lot of people are usually looking at like trying to heal like their inner child, right? Or like they're going back as further as like their current lifetime. But you're talking so much about actually healing years behind.
Like, or the soul itself.
The soul yeah. itself, not yeah. just like your current lifetime. The best way I could say it.
Yeah, it's this is the interesting thing is like I think we're the first generation who finally started to heal. Mm-hmm. And then we've gone through the peeling of the onion and we're like, actually there's more to this. But the thing is, we don't realize that our soul is wounded. A lot of our souls are very much wounded. And I love the whole, like, when you look into someone's eyes, you can see their soul. We don't realize that we don't even look ourselves in our own eyes because some of our souls are so wounded from so long from certain things that had happened. I work with a client who, when she was young, she'd witnessed a horrific, well, she didn't witness it, but she heard about this horrific plane accident where these individuals who were churchgoers died. And it hit her really, really negatively. Like, she felt like it was her soul that, like, burst open. Mm. And it was because that was actually an experience she had in a previous lifetime where someone, she was part of a religious sect who she tried to help them not have a horrible experience, but they end up doing that. And her soul still had that wound in it. So anytime there was something that happened in the world, it still triggered her in a really deep way. Mm-hmm. So that's things that I think we need to be aware about, because certain things that are triggering us are things that happened in previous lives. And that's the call for us to look at, okay, what does my soul need right now? Mm-hmm. And how does my soul, because if we start asking our souls, like, what do I need right now? What is the healing? Our soul will start to give us. And we truly have guides in our lives. Either they're guides of ethereal or they're guides of family. But they will be there to support you in that healing as well.
Mm, I love that. I love this conversation so much. I believe in all this. What would you say to somebody who... they're hearing this. There's obviously people that are skeptical or they're not sure. I mean, that's given. But what would you say to someone who's like, oh, this really hits, this resonates? Like, where can they start to even touch this work or touch this concept inside of them? Because I think there are people who are like, even like Karina, who have done all this work or even have maybe in one particular area really looked at it and tried to work on it. And they're like, this won't go away. I think of this story that someone told me who does a little bit of similar work to you. They had a like pain in their abdomen and it would not go away. It was like she went to every doctor. Like they were like, you're crazy. There's nothing wrong with you. I've done every MRI scan. And she ended up doing hypnosis, past life regression therapy. And it turned out she had been stabbed there in another life. And I'm condensing the story, but basically we had been stabbed in another life. And this person helped her work through that trauma and the pain instantly went away, never came back. So I think that there are plenty of people who are totally open-minded to this concept, but it's like, if they're feeling like, oh, this might be me, or I've had this impulse, like where would you have them start?
It's funny. I had a client recently ask that because she was like, I want to know how to start doing this. I recommend like first starting with a meditation practice. So if you don't have a meditation practice, begin that because you want to be able to kind of reconnect with yourself. In the meditation practice, I recommend doing two things. It is to basically ask yourself a question and get very specific on that question that you want to ask. And in your practice, like write it down saying like, for example, like I'm feeling this thing in my body. What's going on? Can you know, you want to ask a question to yourself. And I recommend that you actually like say your name. So when you first time you're going into your records to get comfortable in it, having a meditation practice kind of sitting there and then saying like, you know, hello, I'm ready to ask my records now, like for guidance. Mm-hmm. I am saying your full name. And then ask that question and then wait for the guidance to come to you, because that's where your soul is going to start to ask you, start to speak to you. The thing that we tend to not realize is that we've been taught to listen to the mind, and the mind is great because the mind is there to protect us and it's filtering things stuff out. But the heart is where our soul exists. And that's actually where I believe your records actually can be accessed. And so you want to really get that connected in there. So it's sometimes nice if you need to like visually or kind of connect with it, like in your meditation practice, connect to your heart and say like, hello, this is me. You know, say your full name, connect to my heart. Please guide me where I need to with this question here and now. And that's where you'll start begun getting the guidance. And it's not going to give you like the full, like you need to do X, Y, and Z, but it's going to start giving you the safe next step to do that. That's the most safest way to begin that practice, because I can tell you from my experience, when I started getting into my records and pulling stuff up, I was feeling the like extreme stuff that was happening. So I would have like experience where I felt being stabbed. I felt being killed and shot. I had all that type of stuff. And I didn't know that when you start the practice in a way, asking a question, and then once after you ask the question, I always say, then say, please provide me in a safe, protective way the answer to this. That will then give you a more safer way for that stuff to come through. Because before I did that, that was when I started feeling the stabbing, feeling those experiences going through. When I started asking that, the question plus saying, please provide me this in a safe, protective, easy way, that's when things would come up in more of a way that I didn't get re-traumatized again when the soul stuff started coming up.
I love that. That's great advice.
I think also, like, as someone's listening to this, I'm curious, like, they're gonna be like, well, I'm gonna sit down, I'm not gonna hear anything.
Yeah, you probably won't hear anything the first time because your heart and soul doesn't trust you right now. Mm-hmm. We have not given any loyalty to our true self. Mm-hmm. We've given loyalty to the mind, which the mind is being directed from the outside world. Mm-hmm. Our heart is the most quietest, subtlest thing. I always like to give the analogy of like, your mind is like that extrovert who's there like talking, da, 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 da. And your mind is that like little quiet person that when they say something, it's just like, it blows your mind. It's
your
like,
heart, your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, poof. It's like, oh yeah. But we don't listen to it. And it does it very quietly. Mm-hmm. And also too, sometimes it will reach out to show you it in ways that you may understand better too. So if you're someone who learns through auditory, your heart will then try and connect with things that will bring you songs that all of a sudden give you guidance, or they'll like bring you little like things that come in auditory that give you guidance. Someone will say something to you, you'd be like, wait, that resonates with me. Or if you're a visual person, you might start seeing some visual things in your everyday day. Or if you're someone who is a kinesthetic, you need to sort of feel things out, you may all of a sudden, like someone may show up and give you something, or you may have an experience. So it doesn't necessarily talk to you per se, but it will find ways to come to you. And it's starting that practice. Meditation, in my mind, is really you learning to listen again.
Mm. I love this so much that you said that, because for me personally, like saying things out loud, like I process a lot of things out loud, I also can so deeply hear and connect to when like I'm talking out loud, like all of a sudden it's like, that's the thought. You know what I mean? Like, that's the truth. And I can hear it. I can hear it better by saying it out loud, not keeping it in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I hear that better. And sometimes I don't really hear it in quietness. I actually hear it by talking out loud.
It's way everyone learns. And we have so many different senses other than those, the regular senses. Like we can have things that just like come to us, or just, or we'll have like a feeling or see things or whatnot. But it doesn't, I think there's been a disservice out there to say like, you need to see it this way and that way. It actually is the way that you learn and interpret yourself. And it's all individual to everyone, but it starts with you first sitting down, getting connected, getting clear what the question you're going to ask, follow up saying that, please provide me the answer in a safe, protective way. And then allowing the space for that answer to come to you in the way that your heart knows is actually going to be the most effective way for you to say it. Because as you said, like you all of a sudden start speaking and you're like, oh yes, that's what it is. That's what your heart said that realized. That's how you're
actually going to really get it. There's like this knowing, this inner knowing. I'm curious, what's yours?
I think my gut for sure is, I think when I get quiet, like meditation definitely works very well for me. And I think when I get quiet and listen to like my impulses, I feel like that's how I feel what's true or what my connection is. I would say signs too, like visual signs, animal spirits or animal guides and things like that. But definitely I think it's like a feeling in my gut for sure.
I love it because like I feel like this invites everyone to find like what is their way, how is their heart speaking to them. I think the people that see visuals, I'm like, there are some people that see a lot of visuals and they're like, I see the sign, I see the animal,
yeah,
I see the thing, you know, and I'm like, I see it too, but it doesn't hit the same way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like the invitation for everyone to kind of find how is your heart speaking to you and how are you receiving your heart.
And you go through different seasons too, because sometimes when I started, I was young, it was only auditory that really came to me and a little bit of visual. As I got older, like the visual expanded and the auditory expanded and now the feeling expanded. So when I have sessions with clients, when I'm going into their records, like I see, feel, hear everything. Like there's one client who wanted me to work on an area with addiction in her family. And it was funny because like her family members actually came into my space and they were like literally like hitting me. And I was like this in the session. Cause I was like, they can't like, cause they were still in their like addictions phases. Mm-hmm. And so they just didn't mean to, but they kept doing. So it was funny. She was like, what's going on? I was like, I'm just feeling like they're just, they're hitting me. They're like nudging me to do this. Like I'm trying to get them to calm down. Like, yeah. But we each, when we get really deeply connected, it's the first one that we really learn from is the one that our heart's going to try first. And then as we get more comfortable, we'll start using other ways to bring that in. But it's all unique to everyone. And I think that's where I want to try to really bring that home is that like your experience, you already know. So trust that first thing that comes up because that first thing is actually what is the right thing for you.
What's going on in someone's body when they feel disconnected, numb, or kind of closed off? Like they're energetically with their soul, like they are kind of in a freeze response, just completely disconnected from themselves, anything.
Ooh, it can be a number of things. I've seen clients literally have energetic wraps around certain parts of their body. And so I've seen clients in this solar plexus, which is your power center, I've literally seen it as like a corset of energy wrapped around. Mm-hmm. I've seen people's hearts like covered up with tons and tons of stuff. I've seen people like their throats, like it just stiff. Mm-hmm. And it's usually because these different centers of them is been stuffed. And it could have been because of either an experience they had in this lifetime where they had to create some sort of barriers around, or it was an experience from other lifetimes that they created an ongoing sort of protection in that area and it numbs them. I've seen people who literally are soulless because they have gone through so much that they're actually like the living dead. I've experienced those people in this world.
Wow.
Because they've gone through so much that it basically killed off the love and life in their soul.
What do you do for those people?
You do not hang out with those.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they're not like clients coming to you. No. Got it.
No, I've been in places where I've literally seen people who I'm like, yeah.
There's nobody home.
There's no one home. This is a dead soul who is just walking because whatever had happened to them, either in this lifetime or past, caused their soul to be like, this light has been turned off.
That's so sad. Like, I mean, I can see it. You know, I think that sometimes, I laugh about like, Nick talks about how like on airplanes, like, why is everyone on the plane? Is everyone real here? Like when you say that, I'm like, I do feel like sometimes we're surrounded by people that you don't feel, see, or hear. They feel like they're just hanging out kind of like in the back end versus like there's this presence with other people that you feel. And like, maybe that's what you're referring to is like those kinds of people that just feel like so muted, like completely gone, no life.
I think when you feel very numb, that's the first sort of red flag that your inner flame is going out.
Dimming.
It's like you need to start to refire stuff inside of you. Mm-hmm. Either one of those eight areas is like so depleted to the point. Because what tends to happen is like when those eight centers, when there's a depletion, for example, in your like recreation play area, it will start to self-sabotage the other areas. So you're completely focused on your career, right? You're like, I'm focused, I'm focused, I'm focused, but you're doing nothing for your recreation and play. All of a sudden, you try to focus on your job and it's like, I want to go look at the birds. I want to go play. Like, you can't focus. Like, that's a first, like, yellow flag that you need to get some energy there. If you do to the point where it's becoming like there's no depletion there, you just keep focusing, that's when other areas start to like, it's like danger, 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 danger. And that's when it's like, you become really like depressed. That's when you have really negative thoughts of that's where I got to a very low point where I was ready to end my life because I was just like, I'm done. I'm not going to feel this under anything within me anymore. Like, why is there a point to live? And so that's where it's, you need to learn to start to bring energies into those areas because that's when it's going to bring that flame back into you again. Because we are here to be bright flames. We really are. Like, you look at little kids, they're little flames running around everywhere because their 8 energy centers are completely filled with energy. And what would happen if we had a world where us adults had that same energy?
Damn.
You know?
Yeah.
That's where I want to see a future, to see adults having that energy that kids have. How unstoppable you can be. And we're kind of almost there because people who are like in the blue zone, those type of experiences of older people and they're like centenarians, they're the ones getting closer to that point where their energy centers are filled. But like, why do we have to live in a space where these energy, like we get to the point, there's so many good hearted people who create things that are ending their life in a sad way when their soul was here to be doing great things. And I know that there's some souls who do come here for a purpose, for sometimes that is it, to help enlighten others. But personally, I feel like we're reached a human evolution point where I don't think we need a lot of souls to do that anymore, to be quite honest. I feel like the souls who are here in this planet Earth, you're meant to do something that's helping people beneficial. And it maybe it doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be like, you're so destined to be a mom, right? Like I had a client recently I work with, like she just wanted to be a mom. Like that was her purpose. And I was like, that's a great thing. And she was like, why? She's like, everyone says I need to go. I'm like, you don't know who that your child is going to be. Mm-hmm. Like you might raise a child who creates the cure for cancer, right? That's who you're supposed to be in that person. Like that's what you're called for. Enjoy it, live it. Let's kind of grow that because you're becoming a leader for a child who probably will be doing something positive in the world.
And I think you're giving permission to these clients too, to, or in particular this woman, to be okay. Like in this now moment, your heart's desire is to be a mother. You're fulfilling that part of your soul purpose. Like it could change at any point, but if you're not honoring that, you're not honoring yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really like we live in a world now where like there's so much abundance and opportunities for us to live in such a prosperous world, but we have been taught to not believe that.
Well, the narrative is that we're in lack in that. And you could look at it like the system is crumbling. Absolutely. Like that is evident because it's never worked. It's been an illusion. And I think that to your point, like people are waking up and realizing that it's not working. Nobody's happy. No one wants to be miserable in a 9-to-5, like not feeling fulfilled in all areas of their life. Like we're meant for more. And I think it's so cool to see so many people waking up to this system, that this broken, insane patriarchal system that has been created, and realizing, I mean, I believe exactly what you said, that we're here to make the world a better place, period. And when you get people into their full authenticity or their full purpose, you are unstoppable. And like, we need to stop playing small. Like people need to stop playing small.
No, I agree 100%. Cause I was playing small for many, many years because I didn't think that I could be myself. I didn't think that, you know, I was taught that I did not deserve to be myself. Mm-hmm. Right. And I feel a lot of us are taught that. We are taught not to be ourselves, but there's nothing wrong with ourselves. Like when I look at all of us, as I said, like as little kids, we have no, we want to connect with other people. We want to do things. We want to play. We want to learn. We want to be creative. We want to grow. We want to do great things to help other people. That's who we are already. That never went away. It's always been inside of us. We've just evolved into a bigger size.
Do you think you went through all of that because you were atoning for past lives, or because it was almost like the kinder for your fire that you needed to push you into this evolution of yourself that you're in now? Or maybe both.
Both. It was both. I needed to really understand what I experienced in all those past lives and why I did things in certain lives. why I acted certain ways, why I kept things connected. I really felt like I needed to go through that because I am meant to help others do it in a way that actually is not going to hurt them. Mm-hmm. Because the way I went through it was rough. Like, it was like I had to go into the underworld and like it was hard and ugly and stuff came up that at the end of the day, I can see why some people don't want to go down this path mm-hmm. because of what comes up is it's crazy. But I've learned to go through it in a way to be able to do it and say like, you know what? I went through it. I now know how to get there in a way that's actually not going to hurt you this time around. I'm going to teach you ways you can do it in a way that's actually safe and protective, because that was one of the things I learned too in my path, is that like I work with some teachers who were great at the time, but they didn't teach me how to really ground and keep it safe and protected as I was going through my healing. And that's one of my biggest things I do with my clients, is I work with them and actually put them in a very safe, grounded practice to start off a session. And I end coming back into that because I want them to be able to go through this in a way. Because the interesting thing is that like soon as I started healing this stuff, like life shifted and changed. Like things that once triggered me just don't trigger at all. And I'm able to like walk through life. And I remember seeing this woman in San Francisco when I was really young who was walking down Haight Street in San Francisco, and she just had this like ethereal way about her. And I remember going like, I want to be like that woman. And now I feel like I'm getting closer to that, where I can just walk through life and enjoy it moment by moment and not be triggered. And interesting enough, can see when people are going through their stuff and honor that and give them the guidance as well. And I think you talked a little bit earlier about like the narcissists, and it's like, I see narcissists like right away. And I grew up in a family with narcissists. So it's funny how I see them and I'm like, oh, I know you're a narcissist. I know what you're going through. Like, I can give you grace, but I'm not going to fall into that trap. Right. And it's like you become such a more evolved person, and then you help others be evolved too. And it's phenomenal to see people just be their greatest self. Like, I just love that, to see someone who's just no longer feeling low and they're just themselves, and they're out there doing something in the world that's like shifting so many people's lives. It's just, I don't know. It's just energizing for me.
I love that so much.
So awesome.
Something that you talked about that I think is so important to highlight before I transition to like the last question. I think it's so important to feel safe in your healing process. And I think there was this era in the coaching industry where people were forcing people to cry, forcing people to feel. There was like this like rough era. And like the skill set, the facilitators, the practitioners didn't really have the skill to hold that. And that was like one thing that through my teaching and the person I chose to learn from, she talked about that so much, because it's even more, it's like so important that you can hold someone fully in a safe container, not just let them have an experience. Like, I think that's where a lot of people do psychedelics or plant medicine. They have this like crazy experience, but they have no one to catch them or to do it in a way that they can integrate or feel safe to do so. And I think one of the most important parts to healing is like for your soul or for your current self, I'm going to use that word, is just them feeling safe to heal. And safety is like the biggest thing on how to do so. So I just wanted to highlight that real quick.
No, it's our soul is, when we go through those really negative experiences, it was because our soul was unsafe. Mm-hmm. And so our soul is trying to figure out how to heal from that unsafe experience again. Mm-hmm. So I've experienced that too with certain folks that was just like, do this, you know, and it was like, you just relive my soul in a way that re-traumatized it again. Right. And it's just like our soul doesn't want to be traumatized. Our soul wants to be happy. Our soul wants to live in the happy, good emotions to keep that going and just experience that all the time.
Totally. Yeah. So one of the questions that we ask all of our guests is kind of bringing it back to you as to like, where do you feel called to be more fully expressed? This can be life, love, business in general at this time in your life.
I feel to just be fully expressed in me every single day. Because
what does that look like?
So that looks like just me expressing myself in every moment, every single day. Because mm-hmm. I was taught to have a mask in life, to give a certain persona that was always the perfect quote unquote persona. And, you know, it was like people come to your house, clean the house first before, so no one sees how you look like. And so like that's the world I grew up in. And it was always, you felt very trapped. You never could really be yourself. And I realized that like I'm very unique. I am my own way. And I've learned now to embrace the fact that it's like, I'm going to have people who are not going to like me. They're not going to be like interested in what I have to say. But at the end of the day, I don't care. I just want to express and be myself, because when I'm being fully expressed as myself, that's when I feel the most alive. I just feel most energized. And that's where good things come into my life. So yeah.
So good. That's a great answer. If only everyone can work on just fully expressing themselves. Over here.
Well, that's why you guys are here, because you're doing an amazing work, what you're doing. You know, so many people need to really understand that you gotta just be you, because you're so perfect in all of every piece of you, and just express it, because it's just it's so beautiful.
What I love what you're doing is really, and what I think is shifting in the world, is you're encouraging people to find their own truth and to listen to their own truth. And I think for so long we looked externally for people to tell us who to be, what to do. Like, we had gurus and teachers and all these things. It's not to say that you can't learn from people and you can't like have those people that you look up to and admire. But I think that in the end, this evolution of humanity that we're in right now is like, you're your own teacher, you're your own guru. And I love that that is like your mission, to help people become their own leader, their own like high achieving, most successful, authentic self. And that's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Practice.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been with gurus and spiritual teachers and all the likes, and the guru is inside of us. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of the very rare coaches that I'm trying to work myself out of a job with clients. I'm serious. Like, I'm here to show you a reflection of actually who you are, that you forgot who you were. Mm-hmm. That's the whole purpose of me being here. And I want you to remember, like, all the ask the things that you're knowing, because we live in an information age where like everything is available at the tip of our fingertips. Mm-hmm. But the true knowledge you need is inside of you. And I just want people to remember that, because you do not realize that like everyone says do this, this, that, but it's like, if that's not for you, you have your own way. Honor that, because that's the right way for you.
It's not the right way. It's your way.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Yeah. But thank you so much for coming on. I loved the conversation. I loved this perspective on healing, and not just that, like really just taking us completely out of our current timeline into like what else is playing a part. So, and I think it's such a missing piece that not a lot of people talk about.
Mm-hmm. I think that's where people don't realize that sometimes the stuff that we're trying to heal is deeper than we realize. And when we get into that, when we really figure out what really is the root cause, it just shifts us everything. And it just makes us, as I say, unstoppable. So I really appreciate you guys having me here.
Yeah,
you guys are so lovely.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you.
Before we go, we want to remind you that you are powerful and deserving of fully expressing who you are. Embracing your journey toward authenticity is a vital part of that process, and we're grateful to be alongside you. If you're looking to dive deeper and connect with others who celebrate their true selves, we invite you to join our community. It's a virtual space for connection and accountability where you can share your experiences and grow together. You can find the link in our show notes. We can't wait to welcome you.
See you on the next one.